Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Being partakers of His divine nature. Praise the Lord. Now, there are seven Gospels that the Bible, please listen, we'll get back to our text for tonight, but there are seven Gospels that are communicated in Scripture. And the very first of them in order of priority is called the Gospel of Salvation. Please say after me, the Gospel of Salvation. The Gospel of Salvation is a revelation of the Father's love. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world. A revelation of the Father's love, demonstrated by and through the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus. Please understand the gospel of salvation. The Father, God, so loved the world. That was His motivation. His motivation was love. His motivation was not power. His motivation was love. His motivation was not influence. His motivation was love, not self. So for God so loved the world, and He proved that love by giving Jesus His Son. Are we together? You will be surprised that many believers don't even know about this story. That God so loved the world, and He gave Jesus. Why did He give Jesus? Not just so that we will be saved. Jesus came as many things. Number one, He came as an example of what it means to be led by the Spirit, because that's the condition to be a son of God. So He came as a sample. Until then, no one had demonstrated sonship to the degree that satisfied the heart of the Father. Are we together now? So Jesus came to show us the way to please the Father. Jesus came as a substitute. He eventually will be a substitute in what we call His passion. The journey that started from the upper room where the communion was. That's not what I'm teaching tonight. It's just important for us to have this background. That the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus did not start on the cross. He started on the upper room, there in the upper room, and then from there to Gethsemane, and then the cross, and then the grave, and then the throne, not the sky. Remember the song says, from the grave to the sky. No. From the grave right to the throne. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand, not hang around the air until I know what to do with you. The Lord. There was a real coronation service that happened. Are we together? But the story is not really where, it's not the point of advantage. It is the opportunity for man to understand that message and respond to it. That whosoever, beautiful statement, whosoever, there are some things in Scripture that are not for whosoever. There are specific conditions. But when it has to do with the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ, He says, whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have Zoe. Not just life everlasting, not just eternal life, but the life of God. Are we together? So that's the privilege that we stand to enjoy. And then, in addition to that, we are now open. Please listen. In addition to just receiving the life of God, we have become one with Him by the Spirit. These are the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. You are not a Christian if you don't understand this. Doesn't matter if you can raise the dead. If you do not understand this foundational truth, these are the pillars of the Christian faith. Praise the Lord. Then we now begin to explore in detail the advantage, listen to my communication, the advantage of Jesus in our life. There is a real advantage. And one of it, Paul was teaching the church in Ephesus, chapter 1, please give it to us again, media, verse 3. He now says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ who died and now had become Lord. That's why you see the word Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, the Master, the exalted Jesus Christ. Not just the one that walked upon the earth. The one who is now exalted. Who had blessed us. Are you seeing? He didn't just die. So the Father, through Jesus, had blessed us with all spiritual blessings. But the nature of this blessing is that they are spiritual in context. They reside in the heavenly places. And that you will only access them through Christ. Meaning, if you do not encounter Jesus Christ, you cannot have these blessings. There are many believers who do not love Jesus and are not interested in him, but will continue to insist that they must partake of everything that has to do with the faith life. It starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus. The Alpha, remember our teaching? The Omega. Alpha, Omega. Starts with Jesus. So let's go to 1 Peter now. Chapter 2. Celebrating Easter is useless until we are able to understand the advantage of that which Christ has done and to engage with understanding the systems that will bring us into that experience. So we continue to press by faith as faithful students in the school of the Spirit, trusting the Holy Spirit to guide us day by day and hour by hour to a point of comprehension where we will know. God desires that we know and that we walk in the experience of that knowledge. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 9. Let's read together. 1 to read. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Stop. Peter, the apostle, is teaching here, and he's reminding us that we are not only believers. Are we together? That the scope of the sacrifice of Christ does not just make us believers, but that in addition to believers, we are all these. A chosen generation. Not just a generation, a select generation. Number two, he calls us a royal priesthood, a mix of kings and priests. That we are both kings and we are priests. Remember Revelation 5 and verse 10 tells us also on this. And then it says we are a holy nation, a nation of people. And then it says we are a peculiar people. Then he says that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us. Who is the him? Jesus. Jesus who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's stay here a bit. You need to understand this. Don't trivialize this because your victory depends on it. To show forth the praises of a man who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Many of us understand what we are being called out of, but we do not understand what we are being called into. We have taken our time to study what we are being called out of. We know, we understand the length and the breadth of what he has called us out of. But the Bible never said that he called us out and left us. He called us out of a dimension and a realm, then into another one. Marvelous light. Marvelous light. Marvelous light. This statement, marvelous light, is what qualifies us to be called a chosen generation. Please listen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That means take away the experience of marvelous light. We cannot be all of this. The presence and our access to this mystery that the Bible calls marvelous light. Are we together? Now, you need to understand that this marvelous light we are talking about, light in scripture is symbolic of illumination, knowledge, truth. Are we together? So when the Bible says marvelous light here, it means a body of knowledge, finite spiritual knowledge. Please, you have to understand this. It doesn't just mean any spiritual knowledge. That means there is an exact combination of spiritual knowledge that is equal to marvelous light. Just because you gather any spiritual truth, it doesn't equal marvelous light. It may equal light, but there is a spiritual combination hidden here that if you possess that body of knowledge and you apply it, you must reflect these possibilities. A manifestation of a life that is a chosen generation, a peculiar personality. Are we together? They will see the king-priest dimension working in its apex. Marvelous light. That's the secret there. Marvelous light. My accessing the light. You know, when I started out with the Lord, I thought that every truth of the kingdom was equally valuable. And it seemed like a sin to believe that some truth, you know, people say truth is truth. That is true in terms of the origin and the purity of it. But in terms of its stratification and its assignment, no, sir. No, sir. There are many lights, but there are two great lights. It is possible to have 10 of certain information, but you can have one of another kind of information. And just that one that you have will surpass by far the effect that will be in your life by accessing these things. So please, you need to understand that you are not just growing because you are encountering truth. You have to grow when you encounter certain kinds of truth designed to produce an effect in your spiritual life. All scripture, the Bible says, is written by the Holy Ghost, is profitable. It says, holy men wrote as they were moved by the Spirit. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, and so on and so forth. So any dimension of truth you find in scripture will have some value to your life. But as far as being exceptional, remember, you are mandated to show the praises of God. That means that the gospel rendition of this is, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good deeds and glorify. Notice how God continues to desire the praise and the glorification that not just comes from singing, comes from a standard of excellence and a standard of life that the saints emit. And the secret to that possibility is marvelous light. There are many believers who want to be great. There are many believers who want to be anointed. There are many believers who want to go far. There are many believers who want to have influence. And we continue to guess around spiritual principles that we think may lead us to these truths. And here and there are books that are written across, and they seem to supply some level of value. But let me tell you this. One of the greatest blessings that can happen to a believer is that you find a man or you find a platform that handpicks the spiritual principles that are allocated for your victory and feeds you with it. Like you have a plethora, you have a buffet of spiritual principles. And not all of them, believe me now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Not all of them have equal value as far as your relevance and your producing glory is concerned. No. There are certain truths that if you don't know, regardless of the ones you know, it will still look like Jesus is not Lord over your life. Just because you cooked well and you didn't put salt or something, it may look well, but it will taste not the way it's supposed to taste. Are we together now? Yes. There are many believers who continue to pride in the fact that they are accumulating spiritual information. And many of the information that is being accumulated, number one, It's not been vetted. Number two, it's not arranged systematically. Do you know that truth does not just bless? The arrangement, the order of truth matters. Like a spiritual house. Look at this room, for instance. Imagine that we pick the zinc and we put it immediately after the foundation. You don't have a house. The order and the arrangement matters. It is in the arrangement that the house is produced. Just because you have the materials, the spiritual combination of these truths to the end that it produces this is where many believers default. So here and there we can say, I know this, I know this, I know that, but at what point in your spiritual journey do you need this? Are we together? So when truths are dispensed, we are not just giving you head knowledge, we are also arranging it and rearranging it so that it can now be useful and productive to our lives. If you're with me, please say amen. There are people today who have been around church for a long time, but they may never be anointed because of how they were taught. Never, never. They may never walk in the anointing because of how they were taught. Now, the same thing you know about the anointing, they have been taught, but the arrangement will not produce the anointing in their lives. There are believers, for instance, the moment they get born again, the next subject they hear is prosperity and money. That kind of arrangement is not only bad, it's dangerous. Now, that is truth, but because of the way it was arranged, you cannot call it marvelous light. It will create a lopsided Christian, a lust-driven Christian. Are we together? The language of sacrifice, the language of service will not be in the dictionary of that kind of Christian. The entire scope of his understanding about God is someone who just blessed us to enjoy. And that's not a good philosophy, because when you sell that idea to that believer, eventually, when things do not change and things do not square up, he will leave God in a heartbeat. Because you have told him that the primary purpose for his encounter with Christ is just for him to enjoy. Now, that does not mean that this dimension is not in the dealings of God, but it's too early. There are things that the believer needs to know and appreciate before the subject of prosperity comes in. There are many believers today who keep shouting, "Oh God, why me?" It's because they have not been taught. They have been taught that when believers face challenges, it is proof that they don't have faith. You see, that's why I'm saying it's important you are taught. So when they lose loved ones or something tragic happens, like the dear lady who said armed robbers came to their house, I hope you know that's not a Muslim. That's a Christian. Many Christians today cannot explain when something very sad and tragic happens to people who love God. They search around and the arrangement of the doctrine that was given them does not allow an explanation to certain situations. I don't know if you are following me tonight. So when the man of God comes now, there is a dead body lying there. And they say, "What happened? My father served the Lord. He even died serving Jesus." And then the man of God is in confusion right now, because all you have taught them and the way you have taught them is that whatsoever happens that is negative, listen very carefully, in it, God cannot be praised and you have to be blamed and all of that and all of that, and he cannot find glory in anything that is negative. That believer is confused. I love God. My father loved God. My mother loved God, but he still died. But there is something you can teach that believer, that like Job, you can teach him that the true victory of a believer sometimes is not in what you have gotten, but in your love for God, even when you don't get some things. That they are all called faith. That faith is not always about things coming. It takes faith to lose things too. By faith, Abel offered. It's not always about coming. Our concept of faith is that things must come. But I'm teaching you that there is a dimension of faith where you can lay things down. It says some women received their death to life. It says others died. and didn't come back to life, and all of them he joined it and called it faith. Are you saying that it matters how you are educated spiritually? So every time you engage your faith, it is always for things to come. Just because the Bible says faith cometh. No. Are we together?
Yes.
So believers have a lot of gaps in their lives and they cannot give God praise. They don't know how to joy and sorrow in persecution. When a believer is persecuted, he does not understand. But in scripture, it says, count it all joy, my brethren. Are we not Bible students again? When you face diverse tribulations, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. So what is being tried? Your faith. Listen to what I'm telling you. It's very, very important. You are a Christian and your car breaks down. And now someone stands and says, where is your faith? Your car just broke down. Now please, I'm a man of faith. And they make you feel guilty. You stand in front of that car. You are sad. You are angry. You are even ashamed to call a mechanic. You would have called a mechanic in 30 minutes to fix that car. But because your ego has been provoked, you can stroll to the back of that car and lie down there and say, God, prove yourself. You see, because you have been taught that if that does not happen, it's a sign that you are not growing spiritually. Our indices to measure spiritual growth is very poor and very terrible. I don't know if someone is getting blessed tonight. Just follow what I'm teaching you. There are many people who have become poor in church today because they continue to press to realms they have not gotten to as a proof that they are people of faith. Because something about our teaching has jumped the law of process. And so we teach people that if it is God, yes, Jehovah Shapshap is alive. But let me tell you, the way the tree grows, I mean, the dealings of God in our environment should teach us how God builds. When a woman carries seed, no matter how anointed she is, including Mary, Jesus grew slowly in Mary's stomach. Not even his being the Word suddenly made him an adult and he said, Mary, I want to come out. He grew slowly. So it is spiritual to subscribe to the law of process. So you find people under pressure. I must buy this car this year. I must buy this cloth this year. I must go around 10 countries this year. And sometimes we lost driven men of God help to endorse this kind of futile agenda. Oh, let me pray for you. If you don't go around 10 countries this year, you are not a Christian. If you don't do this, you are not a Christian. And we propose, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God cannot make for these things. Remember, it's our year of extraordinary fruitfulness. It is true that there are truths when you know they will set you free. There are things when you don't know, you will remain in bondage forever. Hallelujah. So if you see a brother now with his 200 naira trouser, his 1000 naira shirt, you know, if God tells you that brother is a man of faith, you will not believe. Because our definition of faith is that the results must be there to show. And it's very dangerous because there are people who are doing well, but they leave their well-doing and compromise on that understanding because they are searching for results. There are many wealthy people who don't have faith. But simply because of the abundance of physical results, you may think that that already means a lot of faith. Let me tell you this. It matters how you are taught the ways of God. It matters. The beauty of your life will not come just because you have truth. It must be arranged to be profitable. When all else fell for Job, he had a solid foundation. You know, many times when we read the book of Job, we don't understand the entire scope. Do you know what it meant for Job to be there and those who once depended on him will pass and look at him and say, my God, look at this man, look at your wife, look at your useless life, dogs are licking your sores. Didn't I teach you that when God is silent, he's speaking? and that you must learn what he's saying when he's silent. God, why are you not talking? And God replies and says, understand what I'm saying. When I'm silent, it is a voice. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. I truly live a very peaceful life. And the peace that is in my life has come from knowledge. There are things that I have learned and I have known about God that has culminated to stability and rest. This Sabbath, you see, you don't enter into it just haphazardly. There is a body of knowledge that will bring you into your Sabbath and you can rest. You can lie down in a boat that is boisterous and like Jesus, you are sleeping. You can stand before Goliath and know Goliath is going down. What do you know about this Jesus that we celebrate and his word that can stand the times and the days that are coming? Then let's flip to the positive side. What do you know about the word that is responsible for results in your life? If I ask you to stand up today at random and I say, tell me the principles you know in the dealings of God with men that provide for results, what will you say? I wish I had the time, would have run a mic just on 3 or 4 people. Just at random. And I say, are you a believer? Yes. Born again? Yes. Filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. You can even pray in tongues. Let's see if you want to. And then I'll now ask you, I'll say, now with your knowledge, become a lecturer, become a mentor in 5 minutes and coach us on the pathway to victory. How do you guide a person who needs restoration in his life? What do you know about God? What is the system in the kingdom that is allocated for that outcome? Or are you just going to guess and hope and say, well, just pray. I know prayer answers. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. He was in the temple. He was not praying. He was studying. There were many times he did other things. Prayer is a key, not the key. A key. There are many other keys. And if all you have is one key, you will only enter one part of a house. And sometimes that part you enter may not be where you are looking for. If you have the key to a toilet and you are hungry, you are in trouble. You have a key, but there is nothing in a toilet that will solve your current predicament. Are we together? And sometimes the way you open the door to a kitchen is not the way you can just turn it once and the door of a toilet is open. But sometimes the door of a kitchen may require opening up and down. Then you push systematically. If you don't know it, there is bread in the kitchen. So God will tell you there is bread in the kitchen, but you are dying of hunger because of understanding. You know, if we spend half the time, my brothers and my sisters, that we use shadow boxing and guessing around and become like Mary, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is needful, to just stay and say, Lord, show me this thing, show me this thing. It may take time, but guide me. Spirit of the living God, you are here to guide me. Any spiritual knowledge that does not translate eventually into your victory, are we together now? And the advancement of God's kingdom and your progressive knowledge of God is completely useless. Completely useless. Just because it is spiritual in context does not mean it's useful to your life and your destiny. Hallelujah. So what do you know and what do you not know? The entire prayer and fasting will be a time of dishing out spiritual truths. Let me tell you, there is no hope for a man who rejects the understanding of the ways of God. That is a truly hopeless man. There's nothing you can do. Even deliverance, I've taught you, there is a dimension of deliverance that is not conducted, it is preached. He said to preach deliverance to the captives. So there is a dimension of deliverance that is preached. It is not the demon that needs to hear that message. It is you. There is a particular part of deliverance that is for the demon. It's not for you. So the demon hears the conversation and he's supposed to respond to it. But there is a dimension that is for you. You are the one who should hear. God calls both deliverance. So if it's only the demon that is hearing, you are still in trouble. Because both the demon and you should hear something eventually. To preach deliverance to the captives. So if I cast out that devil and it leaves you, and you remain like that, I guarantee you, my brothers and my sisters, you will never be sustainably free. And it takes a long time to build conviction. Don't think one conference is enough to impart conviction. It took a long time for the build-up of the error to stay in our minds. It takes a long time. I now understand why great men like Kenneth E. Hagin and all these fathers of faith will stay around certain subjects for many years. They were creating convictions. Notice that some of the churches that we admire the widespread spiritual understanding is because of a level of focus and intentional teaching of certain dimensions of the kingdom again and again, so that the average member can come into that comprehension and come into that understanding. We continue to make ourselves victims. I'm sharing my heart with you because as I look around, you know, people just as powerful as, you know, people like Ima came to share that he went to stand near my wall to touch. That there's a dimension of God's grace there. But you see, the truth is that a day will come, you will be somewhere where you it has to be your personal knowledge of God. Nigerian believers are very lazy. We like to connect with things that quickly bring acceleration. It's a system of God's mercy to help you receive results while you learn. Because if God waits for the result to reflect your current knowledge, you may never grow. So he gives you an opportunity to tap into possibilities that are higher than your level of transformation. So that while you are enjoying the result, you can take time to grow. Because he knows that growth takes time. So just because you are receiving results by partnering with a grace, it is not a license to remain spiritually down. You have to rise so that one day it is your own grace and walk with God that will help another believer. Imagine if Jacob stopped at the God of Isaac and the God of Abraham. Today we will be robbed of a dimension that his knowledge of God has provided for us. Are we together? Spiritual knowledge. That we are a peculiar people because of this. The one pursuit that you must make, and I'll talk a little about that shortly, this year is to cry for light. Light. Illumination. Light. Light. Open up my eyes. Light my lamp. God is not a herbalist. He's a miracle worker, but he's not a herbalist. He will require partnership from you through understanding for you to get any results. Whatever it is that God has done in and through this ministry that is worth giving him glory for, came by partnership through understanding. Faith cannot be faith until it is sponsored by understanding. The foundation of faith is understanding. You have to know the systems that are allocated for the results that you desire. Then when you are convicted about it, then you act in accordance to what has been told you. And then you will receive results. Very, very important. Luke chapter 19 from verse 41. One of the two reasons why Jesus wept. Jesus did not just weep in the grave of Lazarus alone, but Jesus wept And when he was come near, he beheld the city. Now he's beholding a city and did what? Wept over it. Now, if Jesus is crying over something, you need to find out what he's crying about. Next verse. Saying, this is why he's weeping, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto your peace. This is why Jesus is crying. He says, but now they are hid from your eyes. Imagine Jesus looking at you and crying and saying, I wish you knew this. I wish you knew this. I wish you knew this. Have you, I don't know if this has happened to you, that you misplaced something, or maybe you are looking for your handkerchief and it's on your shoulder and you are going from room to room in anger and waiting to see someone with it so that you will injure the person. Suddenly you find out that it was that person was you. The things that pertain unto your peace. The things that pertain unto your peace. So there are things that pertain unto peace. There is a science to your peace. There are equations that make for your peace. Your peace here talks of your prosperity, your greatness, your health, your longevity, your well-being. The things, not the thing, the things is a body of knowledge that pertain unto your peace. He says, but now they are hid from you. There is what you can know, and your church will never remain small. It doesn't matter the darkness in the land. It is your knowledge. There is what you know that you will never beg forever till Jesus comes. It is true. Sponsored by knowledge. There is what you will know that will command favor and the help of men to your life forever. There is what you know that it doesn't matter the negative things that happen to you. There is a system to turn it around for your good. Jesus wept over that city. Let me show you a scripture. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Please read it with me. The people that walk in darkness have seen a, not just a light. And then it says, they that dwell in the land of the how can a man dwell here? Is that a habitable place? He said, but there are people that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them, what happened? The light shined. Notice that the solution to this category of people is light. Those who walked in darkness, a version says, they that sat in darkness. Sat in darkness. Sitting is a state of rest. That means you are not even aware that it is darkness until the light comes. He says, they have seen a great light. And then he says that those that have dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. That means every time there is darkness in your life and you cry, God answers you. The official way of answering prayer is sending light. That's how God sends light. His anointing is in his light. If you reject his light, you will never, never access the power that helps people. Please understand what I'm teaching. Apostle, why are things going on like this in my life? The answer will be light. There is a dimension of God's light. Why will my finances not rise? There is a dimension of light. Why am I not excelling in life and ministry? There is a dimension of light. So when God wants to help a man, let me show you how he helps a man. His light comes. Come, my dear. And he brings you out. He brings you out. Watch this. He's bringing you out of darkness. The coming of his light is your deliverance. No matter what happens to you, if light has not come, you are not free. If you like, go out. Once there is no light, you are not free. Spiritual illumination as God's system of deliverance. He said, I am the light of the world. Then later on, he says, ye are the light of the world. That means we help the world not just by building structures, but by introducing an understanding. Listen, the assignment of believers is not just to build physical structures. Remember, the kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. The first, you help men, not just by doing physical things. Please listen to me. If I give this guy 1,000 naira, money is physical, and anything physical is finite. You help this brother by introducing light. Are we together now? When the light of God comes, it is able to translate this gentleman and activate possibilities in his life. So you knew him to be someone who is standing here. Remember, years ago, this gentleman was holding his admission letter, and today he's a doctor, authorized to be able to handle whatever situation within the level of his knowledge. Light. There are some dimensions that even as a doctor he cannot handle now. If another kind of light comes, it will move him forward. We move forward by light. We move forward, my brothers and my sisters, by light. We increase by light. So when Satan wants to destroy you, what do you think is the easiest way to destroy you? To find a way to do something to the light or to do something to you. The easier one is to do something to you, so that you can make the word of God of non-effect. Are we together now? This is what has happened to so many people. There are people who will hear the things I'm saying now and think that, this is it really important? But look at the situations in their lives. Do you know, let me tell you, my brothers and my sisters, inasmuch as we continue to pray here at the miracle service, and I will keep doing it all my life and with all my heart, but let me tell you, the sustainable way of victory is to command your result by knowledge. When you obtain a result that was not sponsored by knowledge, you will fear the result because you know it will not last. Are we together now?
Yes.
So this gentleman is here at the mercy of light. This dear lady is here at the mercy of light. My brother is here at the mercy of light. Oh God, change my life. And God says, then open up your heart to light. And if Satan wants to confuse you and sees that you have made up your mind to get light, he can bring not the light you need. He will allow light come, but it's not the light that will solve your problem. So you can get a book and be reading and learning. Wow, you are nodding your head, but you still remain there. And you find out that the light you are receiving now is not needed for the situation. Illumination. They that walked in darkness have seen a great light. A great light. Let's look at a parable that Jesus gave, and then we'll come back here. Jesus gave a very interesting parable. Luke chapter 15, please. Luke chapter 15, from verse 8 to 10. Notice, if you read the entire Luke chapter 15, it reveals the kingdom as something that was missing and found. Missing and found. Three parables were in that Luke chapter 15, including that of the prodigal son. So it now gives the kingdom a similitude of something that was lost and then found. Something that was lost and then found. This is one of the parables. It says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, and if she lose one, doth not what? Look at how the woman is approaching a problem now. Once upon a time she had 10 pieces of silver, and then one got missing. It's a representation of a dimension. And look at how the woman recovers. She does not just go around carelessly. She knows it is somewhere, but she needs to be specific. She lights a candle, and then she will use the light of the candle to do what? To start sweeping the house. And seek diligently by light till she finds it. And seek diligently. Sweeping is not alone. It's not enough. You must seek diligently, passionately. Lord, there has to be a way. You open scripture and you are crying out your heart, and then light comes. There's one thing I know about light. When your light comes, you must arise. It is true. It is true. If you remain in a position, the solution is not the strength of Satan. My brothers and my sisters, the solution is light. Or enough light. She has 10 pieces of silver. She loses one. And what happens? She lights a candle. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. This woman is going around. I must find the coin. I thought she has 9 more. The same way, if she doesn't master how to find coins, the 9th one will lose. The 8th one, are you seeing the deception? I like this woman. Whoever she is a wise woman. You don't wait till you have 2 coins left before you will not have the motivation to find it. The moment one was missing, she said, I won't give life a chance. Whatever made the first one fall will make the second one fall until I master how to find it. Now, the woman found what was missing. Let me tell you how Satan deceives us. One area of your life may not be doing well, and many areas are doing well. And you say, it doesn't matter. You won't give it a diligence. Then another area is not doing well. It doesn't matter. I won't give it diligence. Then another area is not doing well. It doesn't matter. Are you seeing? Usually, the areas you are focusing on, Satan will not touch it first. He will touch the areas you will run to when he touches that one. When he's done, then eventually something happens and you turn and find out that 8 or 9 areas are gone. But there are people, when one thing is not going on well, your Bible, Lord, there has to be light. There must be a way. There must be a way. Revelations don't just come when you pray. Revelation comes when you stay. You stay. Prayer alone does not bring. You see, there are many people. Let me tell you this. Any successful person will tell you there is a place of diligence and there is the labor dimension of God's word. I wish that anything you are looking for, you will just find overnight. No. There are times that your time will be years, will be months, will be many years. But no matter how long it is, stay. Because when you find it, the world will know you have found it. It is costly to assume you have found it. Be sure early that you have found it. Because you may assume you have found it until life needs it and you cannot bring it out. You have not found it. They are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Are we together now? This is a very powerful scripture. And I want you to learn that when people are sitting in darkness, the solution, you know, I travel quite extensively to go and minister. Many times when I get to a place within the level of the grace that God has given me, I can know what the problem is within minutes. I know. You can look at a man and know what his problem is and know what the solution is. And if that person is not willing to take the solution, then your heart breaks. There are people today who come for counseling. Some of you join the queue for counseling. You are standing for counseling and you are trying to tell me what is wrong. Apostle A, B, C, and like a doctor, I already know this is a problem. And usually I can tell them, okay, get 1, 2, 3 koinonia messages and listen to. And I just touch their head and you see the anger, the annoyance. Sometimes, you know, they are expecting, touch me, I didn't fall, I didn't do anything. I will tell the person, get this and that message. Usually they will start moving as if they are going there. And just turn and walk away. Now, please don't feel bad. You have tied your hands by yourself. The system works with light. The system works with light. The system works with light. Nobody wins by mistake. The system works with light. So, if you really want to be victorious, your assignment is to be a student of light. And this is what we are going to be doing. The 7 days is not just a time to pray and fast blindly. Is this not the kind of fast I have commanded? It says, then shall your light break forth. Shall your light break forth. My brothers and my sisters, we arise by light. I look at my life today and I look at many things I did not know. And sometimes tears just come out from my eyes. Imagine that I knew it. And I wonder how many other things I do not know. What do you know about life? What do you know about men? What do you know about demons? What do you know about God? What do you know about time? What do you know about wealth? What do you know about greatness? What do you know about failure? What do you know about darkness? What do you know about light? What do you know about defeat? What do you know about victory? What do you know about Jesus? What do you know about Satan? That's where the victory lies. So a believer can be mentored to become victorious, not to become a church member. Meaning I can pick these three people right now and say, look, come and I will teach you the ways of God. Micah chapter 4, Zechariah chapter 4. That's the assignment. That the mountain of the Lord's house, give us Micah chapter 4, please. That it shall come to pass in the last days. Listen to the assignment of the church. The last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house, Micah chapter 4, shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall do what? Flow to it. Next verse. It says, and many nations, how many nations? Many shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. They are there in search of light. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise, shine, because you now know. Arise, shine, because you are no longer in ignorance. Arise, shine, because the power and the fear that comes with ignorance is broken. Amplified says, arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new light. Arise from the depression, the prostration which circumstances have kept you. They kept you through darkness. They didn't press you physically. They did something to your spiritual understanding and kept you there. 80% of Jesus' ministry was teaching. Notice how he made apostles. He did not just make apostles. There were times early in the morning they would go to pray. But for 3 days, all of you come up the mountain and he will continue to teach. He didn't finish the curriculum when he resurrected. He would have said, everybody, this is Jesus, back to life. He said, students, quickly, let's go. We have my time. I need to sit with you. We have 40 more days to round up the course. And for 40 days, he kept teaching them on the matters of the kingdom. When he was done, he said, tarry, just 10 days, you are good to go. Till today, he has not seen a need to come back and say, I failed. When you give men light, you really empower them. When you give people money, you give them donation. When you give people clothes, you give them charity. But when you give them light, you have really helped them. Giving is not only giving money. Money is not the only thing to be given. The most useful thing to be given. And that's how you know whether you'll be great or not. If the things you like getting are physical, you will not go far. You must get the things that bring the physical things. Light. Show me someone who is in complete ignorance, but will sit down and cry to the God of heaven and say, Lord, I confess my ignorance. Show me, open my eyes. He said, open thou my eyes that I may behold. That means that this kind of seeing, God must open your eyes. Education cannot give you this kind of light. It can prepare your mind to receive, but only when God takes off the veil. You won't know there is a veil till he takes it off. And then you say, my God, this is it. This is it. I found my way. I found my way. As haphazard as life is, the knowledge of the ways of God, you begin to connect the dots and see that I thought it was haphazard, but there is a rhythm that synergizes life. Ask any great man, ask anybody who God is using mightily, they will be lying if they tell you they don't know what they are doing. It's not true. It's not true. My passion, let me tell you, my passion is to continue to dispense this light. Just letting you know that light will lift you is not enough. I must bring the specific light. What is the light? This is your book. What is responsible for bringing this book back to your hands? Number one, is it possible? Yes. You see that? But what is the system design? Remember, this is the book he's looking for, but he doesn't know how to pick this book. Between you and this book, there is a mystery. There is a light that must connect you. You can stand and see the book forever and not get it. And sometimes you don't just need to listen to God alone. You need to listen to the person who has picked his own. How dare you trivialize the person that picked his own? Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways and step by step. You lead me, and I will follow you. Listen, let me tell you what is happening to you in Koinonia. Keys are given to you. Get me a bunch of keys if you can find any. You will get to a point, my brothers and my sisters, listen. You will get to a point in your life and your destiny when you will know that life is many rooms. And all those rooms need keys. Look at this. This is a bunch of keys. This is what God is giving you. You've gotten 3 already, but he said that you need to open 70 rooms to succeed. So you now have 3. You need to catch up. But you keep dangling 3 and say, I have 3. And he says, those 3 rooms are just toilets. I need to give you keys. Listen, these are the ones that will reign in life. They who have paid the price. Lord, my child can be a bad boy, so let me know in advance what is the key to restore a defaulting child. It may be too late. You don't get the key when you have the child. You get the key before you have the child. I don't pray that any armed robber will steal your car. But what if he steals the car? What is the key? So God continues. Look at what you are doing. He gives you a candle and he says, keep sweeping. And you are sweeping from one meeting to the other. You are sweeping. Sometimes you say, God, I'm tired. I've been sweeping for 10 years and I've just found 4 keys. God will say, a time will come, you will find a bunch in one place. You will not always pick one by one. There are times when you will see many keys in one place. Let me tell you, I submit to you, this is what I've spent my life doing. I'm like a spiritual archaeologist. Show me the keys. What are the keys to the anointing? I know I need this for ministry. I need this for life. And he says, hold the light and keep sweeping. You sweep from Genesis to Revelation, you start again. 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 You don't sweep once. Listen. So while you are sweeping, you will find a key. Sometimes you will not know that what you are looking at is a key till you come back to sweep again. All the keys don't look the same. Listen. Listen to me. Please listen to what I'm teaching you. It is not every key that appears as a key. You will look at some keys and they don't look like it. And the Spirit of God will say, pick it. When you see the kind of door that this key will open, you will know. Let me tell you how you prepare for life. You hold your keys. And then when you begin to walk, you will see people who went ahead of you standing before certain doors. You thought they went ahead, but there they are marking time. They only opened 2 doors out of 50 and they are standing. And God says, now remember the key I gave you in 95. Bring it out. Open this door. Remember the key I gave you in 2001. During your retreat, I gave you a small key. Now this is the small door that the key opens. Buster by step. You lead me, and I will follow my days. First it has been given unto you to know. To know the keys of the kingdom. This is what we do business with in this kingdom. The keys. Our fathers who are gone ahead of us are called fathers because of this. When you check them, some of them, the keys they have, they can't hold it again. They have looked for bags. And when they see you, sometimes they look at you and say, I know this door. I saw it before. When I was 27, I saw the door. Let me tell you how the key looks like. So when you read their books and listen to them, that's what you are doing. They are helping to show you the key. Let me tell you how Satan cheats you. Sometimes he makes you think the keys you hold are not keys, and you throw them. And the thing is, when you throw them, if you are starting with God, you will go back. You have to remember where you threw them and start sweeping again. Koinonia, hear me. You may not have the car yet, but you have the key. You may not have the house yet, but you have the key. Man of God, hear me. You have not started the church yet, but these are your members hidden in the keys that you hold. Listen, this is a very ancient secret that God taught me. Stay on my word. Don't just be educated in terms of knowledge that pops up. Learn it. I remember when I found the law of encounter. Wow! This is the law that controls the power of God. I remember when I found the law of honor. It blew my mind. The master key. Why did I go ahead of myself? Because I will show you that there are master keys. When you don't find some keys, you can use some keys to find the ones you are missing. Yes, sir. They are called master keys. Master keys. Master keys. You find these keys. And sometimes, the door that will open is the door that your child's life depends on. It's not every door that relates to you directly. Some doors are the keys that will feed your family. Some doors are the keys that will preserve you. This is what God gave Joseph. He said, Joseph, take this. Let me tell you this. Look at me. Those of us waiting for God to just bring physical things to bless you, I'd like you to be matured and think like a believer. Thank God for miracle alert. But if that's all you are waiting for, you are not thinking well. This is it. I commend you. He's teaching you. He's saying, look, stop wasting your time. I hand you over to God and to the word of his grace. Number one, it is able to build you. so that you are stable, immovable, unshakable. Then number two, you will find keys here and you will pick them up. You will get to some of these doors and find people who were standing there before you were born. They are still there, standing at those doors and knocking and knocking. And here you come from nowhere. That's how you show forth his praises. Because many of them will be saying, this door cannot open. We've been at this door from 1951. And here comes, O warm Jacob, empowered by light. And you turn it. It may be an old door, but you swing it open. A time will come when they notice that you have mastered the art of opening doors. Then Gentiles will come to your light. You will no longer look for them. Listen, this is the cure for complex. This is the cure for complex. No amount of good clothes, good hair, good anything can give you what this will give you. The real secret of confidence is the Holy Spirit living in you and the dexterity of the spiritual knowledge that you hold. They may persecute you, but let's get to a door. Keep talking while we get to a door. Keep bragging while we get to a door. Keep making noise while we get to... Keep mocking God. Let us just get to a door. Every mockery ends when you stand before a door, because only a key opens that door. Some of you are giving diligence to what you are doing now, and you may not know what you are doing. Listen to me, my brothers and my sisters. People may laugh at you and mock at you. You've been in Koinonia for 5 years. You have nothing to show. No job, no husband, no money, no ministry, no business, no nothing. And sometimes you feel guilty. You have the keys. You have just not reached the door. And so you continue moving. And then one day, when you open that door, when God is ready to announce you, he can fast track 10 years of your life by keeping you on stage. And he'll say, son, turn the key that opens the door to the anointing. And on that day, those who knew you will say, from whence did this come? And you say, I found a key. God gave me a key. From that one meeting, you may never rest again with the open doors that come. Open doors are only open because of the keys that open them. They that walked in darkness, it says, arise from the depression. Lack of light can bring real depression, not just medical depression, a state where nothing works in a man's life. But many of us ignore the keys and we're chasing shadows. If only my uncle gave me 5,000, I will never beg again. If only I wear a nice cloth, they will think, if only I do this and that. And God says, look, you may be in that one room, but carry keys. Keys. Koinonia, this is what God is going to be doing these 7 days. Keys. Some of you threw some keys you had, and God is going to be bringing you restoration. More than restoration of a property or restoration of a this and that, this is the real restoration, the keys of the kingdom. Let me tell you, fear a man who has held this. There is no power, there is no enchantment, there is no devil that will throw such a one. You keep watching that man, your eyes will only keep going higher because of the power of this. There are families that do not have even one key. They are not born again. Listen to me. From traditional worship, this is where they stand. Father does not have a key. Mother does not have a key. Sister does not have a key. There are some of you, you want to get into ministry, no key. I'm called. I'm anointed. They poured oil on my head, but were keys given to you. You just get up and your first assignment requires 10 keys. And you stand there stupefied with no keys. You are not ready for life when you do not have keys. no matter how you think you are ready, listen, while we prepare to start tomorrow, you are going to have to cry, which key don't I have? Be honest and be sincere. Tonight's meeting is a charge. Have I found the key to the grace of God? Have I found the key to the favor of God? Have I found the key? Hallelujah. You can hear like Ima was sharing. There was a key that he found. So when trouble came, they would have killed that person for nothing. And he engaged that key. Don't wait until they give you a report before you start checking. And then you say, I don't have the key. Is someone challenged tonight? Brothers, learn this key. Life is harsh. Let me tell you sincerely, I don't mean to discourage you. What gives ease to life is the keys that you hold. Woe betides a man that steps into life not holding any key. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I search for these keys and I continue to search for them. And when you find them, they are life to those who find them. They are life to those who find them. You need diligence. You need diligence. My brothers and my sisters, we are going to pray. You need diligence. The keys are not just at plain sight. Sometimes you may need to search and search and search and search and search and lie down there. There are times that the Holy Spirit will have to be the one to come and say, look, turn your eyes. Look there. That's the key. Some of these keys cannot be found by the eyes of men. It will take the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. For this cause, I bow my knees. Ephesians chapter 1. Please give it to us. And verse 17. He's praying for the church. Ephesians chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is praying, the Father of glory may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Some versions say being flooded with light. That you may know. That's the key. That you may know. Because what you do not know will keep you where you are forever. You will think that life will just move you forward automatically. You will never move forward automatically. Not in ministry, not in career, whatever it is. Even if there are attacks, there is what you will need to know for your victory. Victory will not just come. If it would just come like that, some of our loved ones would have been free. Step by step, you are leading me, and I will follow you all of my days. Step by step, you lead me, and I will follow you. As I travel for meetings and I see the wonder working power of spiritual knowledge and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I am grateful to God. But sometimes I ask the question, what if I didn't have the key? Do you know someone will die if you don't get this key? And that someone may be you. It may not always be someone around you. Arise. Shine. Arise. Shine. Give God glory. John chapter 1 and verse 6. The Bible says there was a man sent from God. His name was John. It says the same came for a witness, verse 7, that he came to bear witness to the truth. Are we together now? And that all men might through his witness believe. all men might through that witness believe. There are people who will never believe in Jesus until they see your light. I've been preparing myself for these 7 days. Lord, what do I not know? Thank God for what I know, but I need the one that I do not know. If you have 30 over 100, you got 30, but you failed. You didn't get zero, but you didn't get enough to pass. So ignore the 30 and focus on the 70. Even if you have 80 over 100. You see, in this kingdom, it is worth the 10. Sometimes the one key you don't have can rubbish all the other keys that you have. One key. Hezekiah was at the point of death. Chapter 38 of Isaiah. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah the son of Amos. Go and tell Hezekiah to put his house in order. He will not recover from the sickness. A real prophet. And Hezekiah said, man of God, I honor you, I obey you. You can go. And he turned his face. Where you know what to do, you can listen to people and say, I've heard you. May God bless you. When you close the door, you pick your keys. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? There is a name. Blind Bartimaeus. He had been trying many things, but not the key. People would pass and he say, help me, wicked people. He didn't open the door. One day he learned about the mercy of God. And he said, come now. Let that opportunity come. As soon as Jesus was passing Jericho for the last time, he no longer said, help me. He said, thou son of David, have mercy. The moment Jesus had that mercy, he said, the cross. The cross. Mercy. Because when you call mercy, Jesus must stand. Mercy. What should I do for you that I might see? And that was it. That man would have died there. Thou son of David. Do you know when to call him Jesus and when to call him the son of David? Do you know what occasion necessitates? Thou son of David, have mercy on me. I want to walk in exact knowledge. I want to walk in knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, and he has redeemed them, us now, unto God. He says, I beheld and I saw a lamb that had been slain. Weep not, he said, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, is worthy, qualified to open the book and unlock the scroll. It says, and when I looked, I saw a lamb that had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes. 7 eyes. 7 eyes. The Spirit of God providing for perfect revelation. 7 eyes. 7 eyes. 7 eyes. Apostle, when will I rise? The day the light to lift you comes. Will I rise in August if you want to? Will I rise this April if you want to? Will I rise in May if you want to? The choice is yours. Your addiction to his light is what culminates to your rising. Please hear me as I preach to you. Time will never change anything. It will take light. The entrance of thy word giveth light, not just knowledge, light, and then understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. Something happened to me today that almost brought tears. And I said, God, how many people may never be able to experience certain dimensions of your hand simply because of this light that they do not know? Do you know, many times when I'm praying, truly speaking, I think in the last 1 month, my prayer life now, I don't even know what to say again. Many times I just kneel down and tears just come out of my eyes. Thank you. Thank you for knowledge. Thank you for knowledge. Thank you for knowledge. Thank you for taking away ignorance. you for taking away ignorance, separating me from darkness. It's the power of God. Is someone willing to pray tonight? Lord, I'm tired of where I am. I don't want to lie to myself again. I'm tired of this realm. There is a dimension in God that He seeks to bring me. This can't be it. God is so much bigger than this. This can't be it. God is so much bigger than this. One more time. This can be for you. God is so much. Listen. Was it not ignorance that caused Cain? If Cain knew how to do it well, he would have gotten it. Cain did it, but he did it wrongly. God is no respecter of persons, but He will respect His ordinances forever. There is something we do not know. The Bible says the Lord is nigh them that call upon Him. Until you have a broken and a contrite heart, say, Lord, I've seen this and I thank you, but open my eyes in this area. Is someone desperate to cry tonight? Open my eyes. 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 Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 4. Please give us an amplified. It's a popular scripture here, you know it. Let's start from verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 3 from verse 3 and 4. It says, God coming from Teman, you know, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. It says, and His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of His praise. Verse 4. Very powerful scripture. It says, and His brightness was like the sunlight. Rays streamed from His hand, and there in that light was the hiding place of His power. God's power is hidden in His light. Remember the teaching last week? His divine power hath given us all things, but that divine power comes at the instance of the light. So grace and peace is multiplied through knowledge. The greater your knowledge, the greater your exact spiritual illumination. That is the depth and the dimension of power that you will command. The Bible says to be careful lest what you call light be darkness. You can call darkness light for many years. Please open your mouth and cry and say, Lord, damage darkness from my life. Drive it far from my life. Drive it far from my life. Take away darkness from my life. Take away darkness, oh God, from my life. What are you turning to? Listen. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you.
There's more that's found in you.
Light.
Hallelujah.
Listen. Apostle, how do I know that this prayer and fasting is ushering into a new season? Because of the light that is coming. And because of what you will do with it. Your heart must be prepared to receive it. Listen, just one spiritual law that is well understood can turn your life around.
A law of God will turn your life around.
I'm speaking to you by the Spirit. I have seen what will happen in these days. It says, when the Lord turn again. Some of you are not just shifting, it's a complete turnaround. Complete turnaround. You will know the door that this mystery should open. You will know it. One door opens you up. Another door opens you up. Another door opens you up. Then you pray with understanding. Not just careless prayer without light. It says, turn again our captivity like the strings of the naked. Turn again our captivity. I agree that it will be a moment of sacrifice. I agree that we are going to be praying and fasting. But watch what happens to your eyes while you fast. Except scripture is not true. It says, then shall your light break forth. You have been looking, but now you will see that this is it. I've heard about it with the hearing of my ears, but now my eyes have seen it. Now my eyes will see. And I will walk in it. It will no longer be miracle alert, one moment after another. But you enter into a dimension called the worldly place. It will no longer be one demonstration of the Holy Spirit as though by guesswork. But you enter into a realm of mastery. God is damaging ignorance, transiting you from being general and putting you in a spectacular position that everyone that sees you will know that you are called by the name of God. It may not look like it, but my brothers and sisters, don't forget that this is God we are talking about. God is changing everything in my life. God is starting something new in my life. He won't stop till I'm the one. Listen to me. I like you to curse the spirit of distraction. Distraction is a wicked spirit. You will listen to every other thing but the word that will lift you. He said he sends forth his word. The word is a messenger. It will be coming to people. A buffet of big mysteries in the kingdom. Lift your voice and cause destruction. Hallelujah. A few minutes and we're gone. Please, we are praying these prayers to prepare our spirits for tomorrow. There are a number of things in the Bible that can fight the world. One of it is called the traditions of men.
It says you have made the word of none effect through the tradition. Tradition. You don't have the flexibility to adjust. This is always how I've been taught. This is how I know it. The Bible says you cannot put new wine in an old wineskin. Lord, do something to my wineskin that will give way so that a new wineskin will come. Lift your voice and pray. I'm tired of the old wineskin. I've exhausted the results that come with the old wineskin. Are you praying? New wine. New wine. New wine. In my wineskin. New wine. Number two, unbelief. They heard the word just like it says, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. It says, in that day, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart like they did in the provocation in the wilderness. Unbelief. 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 You hear the word of God and all kinds of contemplations begin to come. Give us Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. We are praying. We are preparing our hearts for tomorrow. Romans chapter 4. Let's study Father Abraham in 1 minute and learn from him the principles that make for true faith. Abraham. From verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. You are going to be hearing things like this. But the Bible says, before whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. 18. Who against hope? Some of you are going to have to believe and hope against hope, because the things God will tell you to do, or the things God will tell you will come back to life, are already dead and have been long dead, and yet God will tell you they will come back to life. He believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according as that which was spoken. Next, verse 19. It says, and not being weak in faith, he considered not. This is not a week to start considering. Okay, now that prophecy is coming, that this will happen, let me calculate. If only my uncle called me. No, that one is not faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Next verse. He staggered not. You believe now, then as soon as you share the grace, you are gisting with someone and he says, oh boy, we only said amen. No, even me, God knows I don't believe it. You are staggering. Vacillations of your convictions. You believe this today and by tomorrow you change. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Lord, I challenge unbelief as a spirit. Every word that is coming from you, I obtain the faith to receive it. Lift your voice and those outside, please pray. Those online, pray. I receive the faith. Number three, pride. Pride. The Bible says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. There is a spiritual quality required to receive meekness. Pride can destroy. Pride can destroy. You're going to pray and say, Lord, my heart is open to learn. I receive the heart of a student in this school of the spirit. Teach me. I'm not too proud to learn. Teach me. Lift your voice and pray. Your mind, your belief system, they limited God in the wilderness. They limited God by saying, can God make a table in the wilderness? Let me tell you this. There are some of you, please give me this cup. There are some of you, this is what you plan to bring for the prayer and fasting. A small cup like this. Lord, I know you. You are like the man with one talent. You are a hard man. I know you. You are not a giver. You don't have the heart to lavishly give. So I brought a small cup to receive. He will fill the cup. There are other people who will bring a drum and say, Lord, I know you can fill it. There are other people who will buy a host and hang it and say, Lord, I'm plugging it from you to me. Not even a drum. Like plugging it to God and plugging it to myself and let everything that can flow, flow. Even in the good soil, it gave three kinds of results. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It is not the sower. It is the heart that the seed fell on. Lord, it must be 100-fold this time around. It must be 100-fold. I will not be blessed on day 3, day 5, and day 6. I will be blessed from day 1 to the last day. Last prayer point. Lord, as I'm standing in this conference, every one of my family members, I connect through the power of the bloodline. They must be part of this testimony. Listen, listen. If you are blessed alone, you are still not free. You have to pray that they too may be saved, that God will also bring them. It says, for the promise is unto you and your children and your children's children, as many as are far off, even they that the Lord will call. The promise is for everybody, not for a few people. So we are going to pray. If you can mention your loved ones by name, I'd like you to mention them and say, Lord, they must be part of this conference in the spirit. As I'm standing, I also agree for a visitation for them. I agree for a visitation for them. I agree for a visitation for them. Call them by name. Those who are not born again, this is the week that they must encounter Jesus Christ. Those who are wallowing in ignorance, sincere but ignorant, this is the season, oh God. 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 Are you praying? This is the season. For tonight, Genesis 21, verse 1 and 2. May this be someone's testimony. Genesis 21, from verse 1 and 2. Let's read it together. 1 to read. And the Lord visited Sarah as had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he has spoken. Next verse. So Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. And when the third time which the Lord had spoken, there is a third time. That's the key word. It's not just that the answer came, but that the answer came at the third time. He said, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the third time. This is the last prayer. Lord, I declare that this is my third time. Do to me like you have spoken. Do to me like you have spoken. I declare that this is my third time. Do to me like you have spoken. Do to me like you have spoken. This is my third time. For those of you who travel from far, I'd like you to pray from the depth of your heart. Those following your line, Lord, this is my third time. Do to me like you have said. Do to me like you saw me in the vision. Do to me like you spoke through your servant. Father, in the name that is above all names, we decree and we declare that these 7 days will be 7 days of fire, will be 7 days of true revival, will be 7 days of a strange dispensing of the mysteries of the kingdom. We call them 7 days of strange wonders. We call them 7 days of divine visitation. 7 days of supernatural shifts. 7 days of encounters. Let me tell you sincerely, the kind of encounters that many of you will have these 7 days will be what you have just had people say they used to have. I have prayed this and I've agreed with God for strange angelic visitations. All kinds of prophetic visitations. And the angel came to Daniel and Gabriel came to Mary. The ministry of angels in this conference, that God is opening you up, taking you to realms and dimensions by the Spirit. Hallelujah. We bless you. Lord, we decree and declare, let no flesh be glorified. Amen. Throughout this prayer time, we agree for those who are coming still on their way. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will honor yourself, you will honor your name even in this prayer retreat. We commit every session to your hand. And Lord, we pray that it will be profitable in the name of Jesus. We obtain the grace to fast. We obtain the grace to pray in the name of Jesus. We also obtain the grace to receive. We receive the grace for open eyes. We receive the grace for open ears. We receive the grace for an enlightened heart. We receive the grace for performance. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. I want to make the altar call. Up front, there are people here who need Jesus and need Jesus fast. Fast. There are people who are saying, Apostle, all the while you were preaching, I was just seeing the need for Jesus in my life. I don't want to start this conference
without Jesus, I want to maximize every moment. You are here, the main auditorium, the overflows, even online. I want to give you an opportunity. The Bible says, ye must, not may, not if you wish, you must be born again. Born again properly. You cannot start a retreat and a revival careless. Your eyes are blind, your spirit is dead. You need that strong opening, and that only comes by salvation. And what a joy. This is Easter Friday. To commemorate and to bring souls tonight like a trophy to His Majesty and say, Lord, we present to you this even on this day. There are people, you want to maximize this Easter period, and you're saying, Apostle, I want to truly, truly come to Jesus. Or, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Wherever you are, overflow 1, overflow 2, overflow 3, by the roadside, please make your way. Our space here is slim, but I'd like you to summon the courage to rise and make your way very quickly. There has to be someone. Don't be afraid. Be the first person to summon the courage to come. I believe that somebody is making this decision. God bless you if you are coming. God bless you if you are coming. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Please encourage and motivate them as they come. You're bringing joy to the heart of the Father even on this day. The devil is a liar. Don't let him keep you down. They will see you and they will laugh at you. That's the voice of the devil. Apostle, I think I'm born again. I'm not exactly sure. Join them. Join them very quickly. If you are not sure you are born again, it's a sign to join them. Will the Lord love me with everything I've done? Yes, sir. Join them. Join them. Those coming from outside, please clear the way for them. Clear the way for them to come. Apostle, I think I'm too old. That's the voice of the devil. I think I'm too young. That's still the voice of the devil. Make your way quickly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I still believe that there are a few people that God is speaking to that need to come. You don't even know what your life is about right now. And you are saying, I just need my life back in order. Please make your way. Join them. I'm sensing it in my spirit that God is also calling this group of people. Please, quickly, quickly. If you are coming from outside, join them very quickly. Join them very quickly. Young, old, together, join them quickly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, the thing about getting saved is, whether or not you truly make that decision, it is up to you. But you can only and will only be encouraged to come to Jesus. Jesus is not a liability to your life. He's not a nuisance to civilization. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man, whosoever cometh to the Father except through me. Praise the Lord. Now, for those of you who are in front, I sincerely salute you for making this decision. I want you to lift your right hand high above your head, sincerely, and I want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, join them quickly, my dear. I believe in you that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I have heard your word, and I make Jesus Lord of my life. I declare that your life becomes my life, and my life becomes your life. I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and I declare that from tonight until forever, I am a child of God. I belong to Jesus. Keep your hands lifted. Jesus, we thank you and we honor your sacrifice, even in this season, by presenting to you these souls. They have come sincerely. Like trophies, we lift them to you in honor of the eternal sacrifice of the Lamb. We pray that as always you will receive these ones, that their confession will truly grant them access to be partakers of your divine nature. I declare that the power of Satan, the power of sin, the power of the flesh is broken over your life now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare that you are born again, you are sons of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. A big congratulations to all of you. May I please request that you follow the gentleman. There's a gentleman waving his hands. All of you in concert this way, just follow him, and there will be a group of people to receive you very quickly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia Live, go to mixler.com/koinonia-radio.
And download the teachings on koinoniasermons.org. For questions and inquiries, call 814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853.